In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear Father Leith, my dear friends, a pleasure to be once more in this splendid church. I can remember I was here for the breaking of earth, breaking of ground. I was here also for the blessing of the basement, when the foundations, possibly the laying of the foundation stone, I'm not sure. In any case, those were two ceremonies I was here for. And now, of course, the complete building, which is something of a miracle in our day and age. Who can step into this church and not have his mind immediately raised by the dignity and majesty of the building, not raise his mind immediately to God? It's a great gift of God's grace in our poor times, and it reminds us what can be done when there is a will to do it. It's a weekday evening. It's not easy for you to come out after a day's work, I'm sure. But there are a number of you here, and you're much to be congratulated on taking this time and trouble for your faith. We live in very confusing times. More and more people are confused. More and more people are letting go. We hear, for instance, of older people divorcing after years and years of marriage in order to have more fun. Madness. Madness. But that's not the only example of the madness, of course. There are many other examples. People more and more confused, living more and more by a fantasy of unreality. The world losing grip, more and more people losing grip on truth. Everything seeming to change, particularly with technology, the electronics advancing every week, every month, at such speed that, as many of you know, somebody already trained needs to be retrained in order to keep up. And if he drops out for a year or two, maybe it's the same even in medicine, if he drops out for a year or two, he falls behind and can no longer keep up. A world spinning out of control. And any of our leaders who hardly deserve that name, any of those in prominent position in public life, if any of them have any gray matter between their ears, and if any of them have any common sense left at all, and that's not certain, very few of them have common sense. Very few of them at least talk as though they have any common sense. Maybe in their private lives they have a bit of common sense, but in public they talk nonsense. Somehow the devil has succeeded in replacing sense with nonsense in all departments at all levels. But if any of them do have any sense, they must wonder how on earth things are going to continue the way they're continuing today, or how much longer they can go on continuing the way they're going on today. The world is spinning out of control, and it's being run. The people really running the world are not people who appear. They are people hidden. They are people hidden. And they are criminals. And that is a just punishment of God upon a wicked world which has largely abandoned him, which is turning its back on him more and more. The God of truth and the God of reality, people don't want truth, they want lies, and they don't want reality, they want fantasy. And so we are surrounded by more and more fantasy and lies, which is why, my dear friends, you are very wise to turn out on a weekday evening in order to stick with a religion of truth, with the religion of truth and reality. The anchor for men, an anchor with God, the anchor with God. No other religion is completely true. Every other religion is at least partly false, and some of them majorly false. The anchor in truth and reality, in which there should be no confusion. That religion, that church, on which you can rely, on which you should be able to rely, for the unchanging truth. Contrast the media and politics. Let me give you an example. I don't know if I spoke about it, mentioned it the last time I was here. Maybe I did. I mention it again, 9/11. Because 9/11 has played such a huge part in molding how people see, in influencing and shaping how people see the world, see the United States, see government, and see their lives in relation to government. All of these things have been heavily influenced by that event, and that event was a global fraud. F-R-A-U-D, fraud. The Pentagon was indeed hit by something. It was not hit by a jetliner. All the media, all our politicians pretend that it was a jetliner. It was nothing of the kind. A jetliner has one simple, or two simple arguments. My friends, not because I have any interest in politics at all, but because it is highly important that you should realize how your minds are being got at to separate you from truth and from reality. How you should realize that your minds are being pushed into the great fantasy so that you, with everybody else, will drift along into the clutches of the Antichrist, who is coming. He's not yet here, but he's coming. The question is then, deep down, religious. Of course it is. Politics are always completely secondary. What is always absolutely primary is the relationship between God and men, between men and God, which is a question of religion. Between men and men is secondary, it's just politics. It's no more than politics. But politics are governed by religion. And false politics will falsify religion. And if the political, what happens in the political domain influences people's minds, and if it's in the hands of the enemies of God will use public events to turn people away from God, away from reality and away from the truth. A jetliner has a soft nose. The instruments of radar, you do not put 2 inches of steel in front of the radar instruments in the nose of the aeroplane, seeking everything in front of it. Added to which that the weight, the nose is not meant to be armored, that the jetliner couldn't take the weight. The engines are heavy. The two engines of a jetliner are very heavy. A dense mass of compact metal holding, containing the explosion, the controlled explosion which drives the airplane upwards and forwards. That's heavy, but not the nose. Whatever hit the Pentagon penetrated through six stone walls, the outer and inner wall of the first three of the five rings which constitute the Pentagon. Five rings, one inside the other, with a central court in the middle, in pentagonal shape, which is how the Pentagon is designed. That whatever hit the Pentagon went through the outer and inner wall of the first ring, through the outer and inner wall of the second ring, through the outer and inner wall of the third ring, before it came to a stop. And in that sixth wall, it still punched a big round hole. That, my dear friends, is not a jetliner. No way. Another simple argument. Along the facade of the Pentagon, there is no trace of the wings having struck. The wings are not weak. The wings take the weight of the airplane in the air, obviously. There's a lot of aluminum on the surface, but the skeleton of the wings must be strong. If it was a plane that struck the Pentagon, obviously there would be along the facade for a length alongside the central hole, there would be the impact of the wings striking the masonry. No trace of any such impact. There would be a trace above the hole of the tail striking the facade. No such sign. Supposing, on the supposition that the fuselage succeeded in penetrating through the hole, then the wings and the tail would have struck. They would have left their mark. There is clearly no such mark upon the Pentagon. And on the grass in front of the Pentagon, where supposedly the corpse of a jetliner should be, you could, immediately after the impact, have played golf. So intact was the lawn. It is simply for anybody who uses his mind and still has two or three grains of common sense, it is simply ridiculous to pretend that it was a jetliner that struck the Pentagon. That is how we are lied to, and that is the power of the media to persuade everybody that it was Arab terrorists attacking the center of American military might and attacking the center of American commerce. And it's a great fraud. As for the World Towers, it was certainly not two jetliners that brought the towers down. The towers were brought down by a controlled demolition. Explosive charges planted at all layers of the regular layers of the towers and exploded in series in order, according to experience on how to destroy these huge buildings, in order to bring it straight down. If it was the planes that brought it down, the plane can only strike from one side. It can't strike all four sides at once. If it strikes from one side, and if it's the kerosene melting the steel columns that brought the building down, then the columns closer to on the side of the impact of the plane would have melted more than the columns on the opposite side from the impact. The tower would have leant over as it came down. That's one very simple argument amongst many others. But where do we read about such things? Where do we see such things in the media? We don't. Our minds, above all, my dear friends, our sense of reality is being constantly washed away and replaced by a love of a great fantasy. We are all encouraged to get into the great fantasy, and the great fantasy is leading to the Antichrist. Wipe out of people's minds all notion of truth, of an unchanging truth. Establish in people's minds a great sort of mushy tolerance of all good or evil. There's no longer good or evil. There's no longer right or wrong. Anybody can do just as they like. There's no moral law. All that remains is the police to control a police state for the benefit of the Antichrist ultimately the Antichrist. And as I'm sure many of you observe and realize, the police state here in the United States, but not only in the United States, the police state has made giant advances since 9/11. One of the purposes of 9/11 was to make possible the much more rapid advance of the police state. This is the world we live in, my dear friends. This is the world which God wishes us to live in. If He had wished you and me to live in the 19th or the 18th century, you and I would have been born in the 19th or 18th century. You and I, most of us, were born in the 20th century, and it's God who wishes that we live in the 21st century. And in this 21st century, since 9/11, again, some of you may have noticed in the media, I was told about it by a friend this morning, the increasing attacks upon religious fundamentalism. Well, my friend says to me, it makes complete sense. What the media are attacking and what the media are establishing constantly in people's minds, because most people, unfortunately, nourish their minds and feed their minds only on what they see in television and what they read in the newspapers. And what these media are now pushing is that any kind of belief is okay as long as you don't act upon it. But any kind of firmly held belief upon which you act is out. It's forbidden. It's wrong. You may not have convictions upon which you act. If you have convictions which you just have in your private house, and you don't act upon them in any way in public, well, that's tolerated for the moment. But you may not act in public upon privately held or upon firmly held convictions. And that, of course, is our Catholic faith. My friend said to me, he said, years ago, you were talking about martyrdom, and I wasn't convinced, he said. You said martyrdom was coming. I wasn't convinced. Now, he says, I begin to see it. And he says, at the end of this line, all firmly held convictions are to be banned, are wrong, are to be excluded. Logically, at the end of that line is the martyrdom of convinced Catholics. Martyrdom, blood, maybe, at any rate, at least imprisonment. Several sources tell us, I've not seen the proof, of the concentration camps already existing. I don't know if that's true, but as they say in Italian, se non è vero è ben trovato, meaning, if it's not true, it's quite likely. It makes sense. It makes sense that the powers that be, that control the way the modern world is going, envisage imprisoning, getting out of public circulation, anybody whose convictions act as a real obstacle to their establishment of the future Antichrist, of the coming Antichrist. Power for them, for the globalists, ultimately power for the Antichrist. My dear friends, it's obvious. Scripture predicts the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come. He will be a person. The church fathers for the last 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years, have been thinking and writing about the Antichrist. He's going to be a person. Saint Pius X thought, even at the beginning of the 20th century, when he was Pope, 1903 to 1914, Pope Pius X thought or wondered if the Antichrist wasn't already born then, because Pius X, with his spiritual eyesight, could see how badly things were going in the modern world, which is so proud of itself, which thinks that it's so marvelous with all its technology, and today with all its super advanced electronics, We are going to solve any problem by throwing technology and electronics at it. What nonsense. What blindness. What about the problem of original sin? What about the problem of venial and mortal sin? Technology cannot touch it. You may have heard, some of you, about the confession machine. I don't know what you do. Maybe you had to put in your credit card and then you got absolution in return. That's the point we're reaching. People so believe in technology to save them. They have such a trust in technology and electronics. Madness. How blind people are. And this is the world, I repeat, my dear friends, in which God wishes you and me to live. And this is the world in which then you are so wise to turn out on a weekday evening for the sake of that faith which does not believe in technology, which does not rest upon technology, which does not rest upon things material, which guides things material by resting upon things spiritual, upon truths spiritual, truths which can't be touched, which can't be seen with eyes, human eyes, which can't be touched with human hands, which are beyond, way beyond, and way above all of the poor little human sciences. Science is true in its little domain, but there are vast truths, vastly greater truths, above all of the little sciences. The Catholic Church does not despise the sciences, but it puts them in their place, which is a very small, ultimately, before God, a very small place. Modern man puts science in the place of God. Modern man puts man in the place of God. Man, with all his science and technology, is God. He is now, as he thinks, in control of the universe. But when the Lord God raises a little bit of a rainstorm over the airport, your marvelous great jetliners have to spin around in the air above for half an hour before they can land, or they have to go to another airport. With all our technology, with all our greatest and grandest machines, before the forces of nature, the unleashed forces of nature, which the Lord God in his mercy and justice allows every now and again to be a little unleashed, just to remind us of how small we are and of how small our technology and our science is, how tiny its power against the enormous power of God and the enormous power locked up inside nature. One tidal wave in Asia, 200,000 dead. One little rainstorm, great jets having to circle and circle before they can land. How tiny we are, how insignificant we are, and yet how we puff ourselves up, how great we think we are. Goodness gracious, how blind so many people are today. As the prophet Jonah says, people do not know their right hand from their left. And that is becoming literally true. To teach children how to march, of course, that's fascist and that's military and that's bad. But however, you have to stick sticking plaster to their right hand sometimes in order that they know the right from left. When you want to say left, right, they don't know which is their left foot and their right foot. You have to put sticking plaster on their hand for them to learn. So I've heard. And poor boys who are brought up in front of computers or who are abandoned by their parents and left to grow up with electronics, they hardly know how to walk. There are such cases. All they know is how to punch buttons. Now I know, when I was a little boy at school, now I know why I did gymnastic exercises, jumping jacks or whatever, in order to learn how to use the muscles of my body. I understand that now. But modern man is far too superior to these primitive exercises in primary schools, because modern man will do it all with punching buttons. But the human beings will turn into complete zombies. What a complete ignorance of human beings and of how human beings tick and of what human beings need. What inhumanity. But it's very cleverly done. The whole scheme of technology and everything it involves is so seductive. It seduces people. It gives them a glamorous screen world, magic, one magic lantern after another. Now even the cell phone is a little magic lantern, which you can use as a camera, and on which the images can dance. And a Wi-Fi, I am told, with Wi-Fi, you get the internet even on your handheld set. Goodness gracious. And people are dazzled by this quote-unquote progress. And by this quote-unquote progress, they are more and more blinded to the things that really matter in life. My dear friends, you are not yet blinded. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But you are threatened. You are threatened with blindness and with fantasy, like all of us are threatened, because that's the way the whole world is going all around us. It's not just the United States of America. The problem is now global. Because of the fraud of 9/11, you now have these ridiculous security requirements at every single airport in the world. They make you take off your shoes. They make you take off your coat. Any moment now, they'll be going further. Ridiculous. A bit of common sense, ridiculous. And they've fabricated terrorism in order to advance globalism. In order to get people to accept globalism, there has to be an enemy. So they fabricate the enemy of terrorism. And most people buy into it. Easily most people buy into it. They've got nothing left in their minds, nor in their hearts, nor in their lives. They've got no means of standing up to the fantasy by any reality. There's less and less reality left in people's lives. Today, tonight, a ceremony of confirmation, one of the seven sacraments instituted by our Lord 2,000 years ago, which hasn't changed and which hasn't needed to change and which deals in reality. The sacraments deal in reality, especially the sacrament of the Mass, which is the real presence, the real, true, and substantial presence of God Himself beneath the humble appearances of a little bread and a little wine. There is the reality of God. It's unbelievable, but of course you and I believe it because it's true. It's true. It defies totally all the scientists. What scientist, I ask you, gets anywhere near the reality of the real presence of our Divine Lord in the consecrated host and wine? No scientist, as scientist, gets anywhere near it. All it does is to persuade him that any such idea is just a myth. All his science can do is to tell him that the real presence is just Catholic fairy tales or whatever, which should be done away with in our advanced age. We should rely upon science and not upon sacraments and Jesus Christ and a 2,000-year-old religion. That, of course, my dear friends, was Vatican II. The Catholic religion had grown too old for modern man. Modern man is adult, if you please. Modern man is advanced. Modern man is smart. Modern man is technological. And Catholicism is neither smart, nor technological, nor advanced, nor modern. And so Catholicism must go. Poor people. Poor, blind masses of people. Who in anything that matters for their life and for their death, for their eternity, who in anything that matters do not know their right hand from their left. They are so ignorant. And my dear friends, they want to be ignorant. They want to be put to sleep by the media. It's no use just blaming the politicians. The politicians especially in a quote-unquote democracy, are simply giving the people what they want. It's the people who want the soft, comfortable, sinful way of life which is establishing itself everywhere today. All over the world. The Asians, not strong in Catholicism, but they have for centuries and centuries been strong in natural values. Look at the way Hindu women dress, or always used to dress, with a great deal more decency and modesty than Western women for a long time now. But these Western ways are working their way in all over the world. And the Asians today are abandoning their Asian ways, and they're taking over Western ways, and their way of life is being correspondingly corrupted. In Japan, the family values used to be very strong. Now they have delinquent teenagers just like every other industrialized, quote-unquote, advanced, quote-unquote, progressive nation. How, my dear friends, do you hold your families together? Is it by television? Is it by the internet? Is it by the science they learn at school? No, no, no. Is it by what they learn in church? This church? Yes. Is it by the sacrament instituted by our divine Lord 2,000 years ago of penance, of confession? Yes. Is it by the sacrament of Holy Communion that your families, your boys and your girls grow up with have the grace to grow up straight instead of growing up all crooked? Yes. But of course, as a whole, and you've observed the effect of the true religion upon your families, or the return of the true religion upon your families. But as a whole, of course, today, the mass of families are falling to pieces, and it's a human disaster. Children need a motherly mother, a feminine mother, who knows how to be a mother and is selflessly concerned with the good of her children, is not concerned with her own fulfillment. Children need a masculine and virile father who will act like a father and who will be the head of the home. They need a man to be their head, and they need a woman to be the heart of their home. The home without a woman is a home without a heart. And the children, this is what the children need. It's obvious. It's ancient, ancient common sense. It's not even supernatural, it's natural. But watch what's happening today. The women are being turned into second-class men, and the men are being turned into second-class women. It's diabolically clever. What's it being caused by? Ask yourselves the question. An interesting question. Ask firstly if it isn't true that the men are being unmanned and the women are being unwomaned, and then ask yourself how and why it's happening. It's a serious question, because if children don't have a manly father and a womanly mother, they're not going to grow up human. They're not going to grow up human beings. They're going to be more or less inhuman, more or less needy, more or less defective. Today, dear mothers, well, parents who are concerned, will make sure that the children get enough calcium for their bones when they're young. They'll drink enough milk or whatever. But what happens to their minds? No concern. There must be liberty. There must be liberty in the schools, liberty for any kind of lies and errors and perversion and corruption. And so while they look after the bodies of their children, they completely neglect their minds, hearts, and souls. And hence you get kids like those at the Columbine, at the school in, was it Columbine, right close by a few years ago. The astonishing thing is that there are not many more such outbreaks in the schools. Ah, my dear friends, what a world for the children. What a world in which to be a parent. But if you come here, here you've got the 2,000-year-old answers for all of the real problems. Out there, you've got the 20, 200-year-old problems undermining and doing their best to stop those 2,000-year-old answers. A world of 200 or 20 years, again, a lies and fantasy of 200 or 20 years against the truth of 2,000 years. Tonight, my dear friends, we will all of us pray for those being confirmed, that they grow up, if they're children, that they grow up knowing their right hand from their left, in homes with a motherly mother and a fatherly father. We will pray for the adults being confirmed, or perhaps conditionally reconfirmed, because in the new fantasy science age updated plastic church, they received probably possibly only a plastic sacrament. You can't be sure that it's the real thing, and so confirmation is only given once, but it's the first time it was given in a plastic form. You give it a second time to make sure that it's valid. If the first time was valid, then the second time is nothing. If the first time was invalid, then the second time is valid. That's the sense of conditional reconfirmation. In any case, a sacrament instituted as one of the seven by our Lord to give, obviously, something which none of the other six sacraments give. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a seventh sacrament. Each of the sacraments, obviously, gives something different. The sacrament of confirmation gives a spiritual strength. And heaven knows if today we need a spiritual strength to stand up to everything going on around us, not to lose our footing, not to lose our balance, not to lose our sense of reality in the great fantasy sweeping practically everybody away with it today. Confirmation, a firmness. The firmness you will have taught, been taught in catechism, you will have learned, the firmness of soldiers of Christ in a great war. How many people today even believe in the devil? How many believe in anything spiritual at all? How many have any idea of the gigantic war being waged today between the devil and God, or between the devil and the Mother of God, for the salvation or damnation of millions and millions of souls? How many people even have remotely such an idea in their heads? So, we will pray to the Mother of God, especially tonight, for the spiritual strength of those being confirmed or conditionally reconfirmed tonight. And we will pray to her for that we keep our sense of truth and reality intact against everything that can infect and contaminate them today. Truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life, says our divine Lord. Reality, the true, real and substantial presence of our divine Lord in the great sacrifice of Mass, the only sacrifice pleasing to God, and that can calm His just anger at what is going on in today's world. How has God not already struck the whole world? How many of us who see and think would say, if we were God, we would have struck long ago. My dear friends, the Lord God is way above your thinking and mine. Once we see the corruption of today's world, we wonder how God can tolerate it. He has His purposes. And if He tolerates it, it's because He's going to bring a greater good finally out of it. Let us trust God and trust His great Mother, the August Mother of God, in our dark and difficult times, but let us trust God that He has His purpose, and He has for each of us, especially if we keep the faith, and that He does wish. If we keep the faith and we live by the faith, He has perhaps for some of us at the end of the line the grace tomorrow or the day after of martyrdom. Let us think of such things. Let us leave them in God's hands. But let us then keep our minds fastened upon God and upon the things of God. And let us not be swept away by the lies and unreality all around us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.